This may not be what you think it is. You might think you know what this is, but that might not be what this is. This is life, power, hope for tomorrow, change for today. This changes everything. It could be closer than you think. It might be right in front of you. Look closely. You don't want to miss this.
Okay, welcome to part two of our series, This Is That. And let me just pause right here like we always do this point in our service and welcome all those that are joining us online. We're so glad to have you along for the ride. Can we welcome those that are here from different locations? And glad to have everybody in the house today. As I said earlier, it's Mother's Day, and we're just so honoring our mothers and all women today. I just want to make sure I always try to clarify, because this is one of those days that can be very sensitive and very painful, actually, for some women. And so there's different definitions of the word mother. There are biological mothers, there are stepmothers, there are mothers that really not necessarily biological, but they could not maybe have children. There's mothers that have lost children, all kind of scenarios. And when you draw attention to motherhood, sometimes you draw up some feelings that are really tender. And I just want to say, as your pastor, that we honor all women today, because there's many different definitions, again, of that word mother. I do believe that women are amazing. I'm glad I'm not one, because y'all do some amazing things, and there's some physical things y'all go through too at times that I'm just so thankful that God made me a man. However, but I just put it this way. I kind of do this to women, because you're amazing in so many ways, and I'm not just talking about the ability to have children, but I'm just talking about your influence. And, you know, I've heard it said there's no greater love than a mother, and women have an ability to love and really in a way that exemplifies God's love. And you have this godly way of being really having this unconditional love. I remember growing up that my mother had an experience when she was a little girl, and she was shaking, I believe it was a jar of buttermilk. Anybody know what buttermilk is? Okay, if you're not from the country, you may not know what buttermilk is. And it was one of those glass jars, and she was shaking it, and it slipped out of her arms and broke, and this glass jar broke into pieces. And her mother said to her, "There's no sense crying over spilt milk." And I just want to thank my grandmother, because that phrase saved me many whoopings, because there was times where I would do things, and I passed that on to my kids. There's no sense in crying over spilt milk. My mom rehearsed that for me. But I just also want to say, beyond the love, you have these abilities. I just think you're just super, super amazing creations of God that has the ability to multitask in ways I don't think any man can, because you're just amazing how you can, you know, answer the phone, listen to the TV, the radio, the doorbell's ringing, the dog's barking, the cat's meowing, and the kids are crying, and you got one on one hip and another and whatever, and you know, and you can just do it all. It's amazing, because and then one kid will say, "Mom, are you listening?" I remember I used to say that with my mom when she had several things going on at once, and she said, "I'm listening to every word." So, Mom, I mean, hats off to you. Ladies, we just love and respect you, and we just want to honor you. And thank God for you. I do have a message today that I believe is not just for mothers, but and for women in general, but I believe it's for all of us in general. But I believe that it's going to be very beneficial. You know, mothers, because they have such a heart, such a caring heart, women have such a caring heart that they really at times, if you're not careful with that, your heart can become a worrying heart, because you worry about things. I've heard that before, that women, a lot of women, and what I say, you know, I know there's exceptions and things, but I'm just saying, generally speaking, women want security. And I think that's why they need a man to be strong and be secure and give them that security. And I'm not saying that it's always in that. The greatest security that we have is in God, okay? but and our relationship with Him. But there's times when, because of our nature needing security, needing things to go right, and also that caring spirit, wanting things to be right, wanting things in the house to be in order, wanting your kids to be the kind of kids that you want to raise them to be, we tend to worry at times over those. And I just want to tell you, I want to talk about this area of worship, because listen, when we talk about worshiping, you can trade your worrying in for worship. Amen. So what I pray is that we'll be, that the women will be women of worship, not women worriers, right? And so I want to get into this installment today. Let me just set this up as I've kind of just prefaced this as it relates not only to women but to all of us, because all of us are called to be worshipers. Amen. Y'all with me today? Amen. All right. So I want to set this up, though, with this series and how we're looking at this. We opened this up last week, and we talked about how Jesus came to this earth. He paid for our sins on the cross. He was resurrected. He appeared and gave instructions for the next 40 days. And right before He ascended to heaven, He gave some instructions that there was a gift that the Father was going to send to them, the Holy Spirit. So He told them to wait for that for another 10 days, and the Holy Spirit was poured out. There was some misunderstandings when that happened. It happened on the day of Pentecost, and Pentecost is not one of those words to be afraid of. It simply means 50. It was 50 days after the resurrection that this occurred. And we see that when the Holy Spirit poured out, He was poured out in a very demonstrative way. And so there are people, though, that when they don't understand something, either they'll distance themselves from it, or another level they'll take it to is actually make fun of something when you don't understand something. And so that's what happened here. And let's just take our foundational scripture for this series from Acts chapter 2, verse 12. Here's the reaction of the people. They were amazed and they were perplexed. And they began to ask questions. What does this mean? And then they didn't understand. And then they took it to the next level. Some made fun of them. And they said they're drunk. They've had too much wine. And so Peter, as I'm trying to do to explain this, he stood up with the 11 and raised his voice and addressed the crowd and said, "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you." And so I'm taking some areas that probably need some explaining, and we're looking at those. And he's saying, "Listen to what I say." He goes on in verse 15 to say, "These people are not drunk as you suppose." It's not that. You think it's that they're drunk, and that's not what this is. And he says, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is that. You think it's this, but it's not this, it's this. And that's where we get this title, where he says, no, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. So this is what you've been waiting for so long, and now that it's here, you don't recognize that this is what this is. And you think it's something else. You think they're drunk, and you think it's something crazy. And it's not. This is actually this that the prophet, this is what will affect your life and make your life better. And so he begins to explain. So in this series, we opened up this series with the talking about the person of the Holy Spirit. If you missed that, you can go back and check that out online. And that message is archived along with the notes there. Next week, we're going to talk about the area of healing, because that's an area where there's a lot of confusion. Why does God heal some and doesn't other? We're going to talk about that. And then the last week, we're going to end talking about money, about prosperity, and a lot of misunderstandings about that. Some people distance themselves because they think the church is all about money. They have a misunderstanding about that. And sometimes it's rightly so, you know, that they have those feelings. But we're going to talk about that in the last installment of this. But today, we're going to talk about the area of praise and worship. Praise and worship. I want to talk to you, first of all, about why we worship, why we do praise and worship. And the why really determines our way. It's important, you know, instead of saying you should do this, we need to understand why, because the why will determine your way. You do what you do based on your why. And so as we look at worship, again, we're going to go from worrying, we're going to go to worshiping. But why do we do this? Let me give you some reasons, if you'll write these down with me. Number one, first of all, because God asked for it. Pretty simple. God asked for it. And I want to teach you something else right here about this. One of the things you get to do when you're God is call the shots. Right? Too many people are saying, I like this part of God, but I don't like this part of God. So I'm going to follow this part, but I'm not going to follow that part because I don't agree with it. And can I just say, well, then he's no longer God when you do that, because God gets to call the shots. See, a lot of people are debating stuff that's going on in culture right now, what's right and what's wrong. But God gets to call that. It's not for us to debate. And if you don't do it the way he asked for, then he's not your God anymore. Actually, he's just your convenient religion on Sunday. And I know that's pretty hard up front. And I know that's an ouch right there. But let God be God. And God calls the shots. And so when God says for us to worship, this area of worship, we say, well, I'd like to do this. I don't like to do that. I got preference here. I got preference there. I don't know if I really, I just worship him in my heart. Listen, God tells us to worship him, and he even tells us how to worship him. And it is very important. So if God's God and God tells me to come in here and balance a pencil on my nose, if that's what he tells me to do, then that's what I'm going to do. Now, he didn't tell me to do that, so I'm not going to do that. But the point is, we're going to worship God, first of all, because he asked us to do that. We see it throughout the scripture. It's God that's calling for this. Amen. It's God. I mean, many times through the Psalms, a book in the Bible, it's a collection of songs, and it's about praise and worship, and there's 150 of them and throughout the Bible. And you say, well, if I feel like it, I will. But really, when you look at it, I want to give you a scripture, Psalm 150, where it says, praise the Lord. And that word praise is a Hebrew word. And really, that word, if you look at it, what it actually is it's a command. He's saying, do it. Instead of trying to figure it out, do it. He says, the psalmist says, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Well, I'm just going to praise him in my heart. You know, God knows. Well, no, he said, praise him in his sanctuary. He goes on to tell you how. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Then he says, praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. That's not a person who lies. That's a stringed instrument thing, okay? And then it says, praise him with the timbrel and dancing. Uh-oh, we're getting crazy now. What's going on? Praise him with the strings and the pipe. Come on. And then he says, praise him with the clash of cymbals. And he says, and I'll just barely hit those things. He says, praise him with the resounding cymbals. Put those things together and let's make some noise. And then he goes on to say, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And if you didn't get all that, it repeats it again at the end and says, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That word praise there, when you look at that, what it's saying there, it's one of seven Hebrew words for the word praise. And that word there is the word hallel, H-A-L-A-L. And it really means hallelujah. It's where we get the word hallelujah. Then we kind of tried to get it to fit our, you know, format, and we, you know, sing hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I mean, hey, listen, it's not just this real formal. It's. Let me show you what this actually really means. If you look at the lexicon, you know, which is the definition of the Greek and the Hebrew, right, dictionary, you look at that word hallel, I want to show you what it actually means. And this is just straight out of the lexicon. It says this, it means to shine, hence to make a show, to boast, and thus to be clamorous, foolish, and rave, to celebrate, right? Now look at that definition. That's Bank of America Stadium right there, y'all. I mean, it really is. That's like Panthers going crazy for their team, and there's nothing wrong with that. But why would you give praise to somebody, a team that doesn't even know your name, and not give the same level of praise to a God who made you, formed you, redeemed you, has a heaven awaiting for you? Come on, there's reason to praise him. But first of all, we praise him because he asked for it, and he tells us how to. Let me give you a second reason why we praise him. Number two, because praise is my purpose. Praise is my purpose. In Revelation, it says it's for his pleasure we were created. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. It was all for His pleasure. And our purpose is to worship Him. Can I just break this down for you and say that church isn't all just for you? A lot of it is. We hope that you're here and get encouraged and learn the Bible and grow. But can I just share with us this morning that it's not all for you? So if you can't, if you come in just thinking, man, I just hope the pastor preaches good. I hope they sing my favorite song. I hope the message is good. Listen, that's part of it. But listen, we're here to glorify and honor God. Amen? Can I get an amen right there? Come on, you can do better than that. Come on, I'll just amen myself. Amen. We're here to bring Him pleasure. Our purpose is not just for us. Our purpose is for God. And not only just for God, but listen to this. Let me give you this scripture. It's found in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. It says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. So that's who you are. And so because of that, because of what He's made you, then look at this. Why is that? That you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. So here's the deal, guys. We're supposed to be excited about our God in front of people. I mean, and I'm going to tell you, you think, well, that's kind of, I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to, hey, listen, it's worship to God that actually will attract people to God. It's not repulsive. When you see a bunch of people that are excited about God, because people say, what are they so excited about? There's an attractiveness to that. In fact, in Revelations, it says that they'll come and worship at your feet. Now, you have to understand what that means. It doesn't mean that they're coming to worship you. It means that you're going to help lead them to know who He is. Amen? Amen. And that's not fake, phony, whatever, worked up. It's real because we love our God. Number three, write this down as a why. Why do we praise Him? We praise Him for who He is. And can I just say, sometimes I think we just forget how great our God is. I heard of somebody that went and they were a part of a tournament and there were some pro golfers there those that were invited to be a part of this, they were able to have a pro kind of go along with them, a partner with them. And Jack Nicklaus was actually there, was kind of a fundraiser. And he's on up in years now and he's older, but he was there, and it was noticed by this one player that when Jack Nicklaus was playing, that it was just kind of this, hush kind of thing. Jack Nicklaus, this is Jack Nicklaus, and he's hitting the ball, and even when he didn't even hit it, even when he missed the hole, it was like, it's okay, you're Jack Nicklaus. Oh, it was great. You're great. Oh, it was great. And then he kind of made a little joke, and it really wasn't that funny, but, just laugh, because it's Jack Nicklaus. It's just Jack Nicklaus. Not because he played that great, but because of who he was. I think sometimes we forget who God is. We worship Him because of who He is. He is a great God. Let me just show it to you in Scripture. Psalm 145, it's all through Scripture. Verse 3 says, great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. Psalm 48, not in your notes, let me give you another one. 48 verse 1 says, great is the Lord and most worthy of praise in the city of our God, His holy mountain. Psalm 96 and 4 says, for great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. We praise Him for who He is. And I just think sometimes we just forget who He is. We need to remember who He is and praise Him accordingly. Number four reason why that we need to praise God, and that is for what He's done. For what He's done. Not only for who He is, but for what He's done. And if you watch, there's some people that will worship different ways, and you might be more reserved and look over at somebody that's just going crazy and worship and say, well, why do they have to do all that? I don't understand why they have to do all that. And if you understood their story, who knows? If you had been delivered and you were a person that was a drug addict and God had set you free, how would you act? If you had a marriage that was falling apart and God stepped in and he saved that marriage and saved your life and now got you living for him, how would you act? How would you praise him? I mean, if you understand what God has done for you. In fact, in the Bible, there were some disciples that mocked a woman who came and with her tears and her hair, she washed the feet of Jesus. And the disciples stood there and said, well, that's a little over the top. Why do you have to do all that? And Jesus' response was, he who has been forgiven much loves much. And either perhaps we've forgotten what we've been forgiven of, or we've not been forgiven, or maybe we've forgotten what we've been forgiven of. But we've forgotten that what the alternative was, if we were not forgiven, that would be that we would have to pay for our own sins. But we don't have to. If we knew what the alternative was. I've heard of people saying that we need a vision of heaven. I've heard others say we need a vision of hell. Maybe we need a little vision of both, because heaven is real and hell is real. If we could see this morning what he has set us free and delivered us from, what he kept us from, to where we're going and what the promise is, we would be excited about it. Come on. We would be giving praise to God. You know, for the person who was once suicidal and had suicidal thoughts that are now, it's now been healed and free. For the person that was in bondage where there was no way out, the person that was depressed and now they're experiencing life, that's not just some fake praise. They've been set free. Come on, somebody. Amen. Y'all are awful quiet today. I'm preaching on praise and worship, and y'all are the quietest y'all have ever been. I don't know what's, anyway. I'm going to preach anyway. I was driving home yesterday. Actually, I was giving someone a ride. And he was telling me about this guy that we worked with that has retired. And this was a guy, he just loved to come to work all the time. I mean, he had, I don't know how many thousands of hours of sick leave. He was never out sick. He was never missed. He never missed. I don't know. He probably even had a whole bunch of vacation time that he saved up. He just never missed. He was just always there. And he just said, I just love my job. I just love delivering the mail. I just love it. And I kind of poked fun at him a little bit until yesterday my coworker told me the story that I didn't know. That man actually was homeless at one point. And it scared him so bad, that experience, that now that he was employed, he was all about work, and he wanted to make sure he never had that bad experience again. See, it had to do with where he came from. Are you following me? Folks, we need to realize, and I don't care how much we thought we had it together, without him, we were lost and wretched and naked and blind and poor. And now we are clothed, we are redeemed, we are whole, we are complete, we stand before the Father in right relationship. We are sinless before the Father through the sinless sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Jesus became sin for us, him that knew no sin, so that we could become the righteousness of God. Folks, that's worth getting excited about. Amen. Amen. Luke chapter 19 in the Message puts it this way. The whole crowd of disciples burst into enthusiastic praise over the mighty works they had witnessed. And I would probably say that perhaps many of them had even experienced. And some, but then you know how it goes. They're all excited, worshiping the Lord. But some Pharisees from the crowd, here comes the church folks, you know, the religious folks, teacher, get your disciples under control. You know, that's just out of hand. It's not necessary. But he said, here's his response. If they kept quiet, the stones would do it for them, shouting praise. I don't know about you, but I don't want some stone, some rock praising the Lord for me. Amen. So, I mean, here in North Carolina, there's a place called Camp Lejeune. And it sits very close to the highway. And it's very startling at times because the airstrip is very close. And if you're not expecting it, an F-16 will come buzz you, come in for a landing, you know. And you're just driving along and, whoa, where's he going? And so what they did was they put up a sign to help with the drive-bys. And the sign reads, pardon our noise, It's the sound of freedom. And I love that. Pardon our noise, it's the sound of freedom. We may make some noise, but listen, it's the sound of our freedom. Can I get an amen this morning? Amen. So, and these first four are all about God, but this one's for you. Number five, and that is, because worship changes everything. Why do we praise Him? Because worship changes everything. And this one I need desperately for you to experience. It's one of the best tips that I can give you, that in the middle of your circumstances, in the middle of your dark days, I need you to have this one in your arsenal, this one in your toolbox. It's when you have the consultation with the doctor, and the doctor tells you something that you weren't ready to hear, or when the call comes in and the diagnosis is not what you had hoped for, that you go to this place of worship and you encounter Him. It's called the glorious exchange. It's like this. There's a big problem. Big problem. And when the problem's real big, it's like here's the God's real little. But then you go into this thing called worship. Watch this. Worship, 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 worship. And God gets big and the problem gets small. Amen? Try it. I dare you to try it. Yeah, come on. That's worth clapping. Come on, y'all, help me this morning. Amen? I encourage you to try it and see if it doesn't work. That's what you see in the Psalms. David, King David, he starts out the Psalm and he's depressed and he's telling God how bad it is. In fact, he's telling God, why don't you just get them, God. Just get them, my enemies. You know, just go, please, God, just go take care of it. I'm just so upset. And he keeps worshiping God and acknowledging who He is, and the Holy Spirit you see kick in about halfway into the thing, and by the end of it He's like, oh God, you're just great, you're just awesome, because there was something that happened in the midst of that. I like to call it that it's praise turns into worship. Praise, I think it's, and I'm going to talk about this a little bit more in just a moment, but praise is what we offer, but when God gets involved, it turns into worship. It gets on a higher level. When we turn to Him, He gets involved. In fact, one psalm says, let the high praise of God be in your mouth. It's like a two-edged sword in your hand. When you begin to worship, I got to give this to somebody. When you begin to worship, the enemy backs off. Because, listen, that used to be his job. He used to be the worship leader, right, in heaven. And now he lost his job. And the last thing he wants to do is hang around some worship leader getting his praise on. The Bible says, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. What happens with that? It changes everything. When you begin to praise God, the enemy cannot hang around you. You hear the door slam as he's gone out the door. Let me tell you something. When you're being tempted with something, I encourage you, begin to just worship the Lord. The tempter will leave when you begin to worship the Lord. When worry comes in, ladies, when worry comes in and you don't know what to do and where to turn, turn that worry into worship. And I'm going to tell you, God enters the room, everything changes. Where God's presence is, all things are possible. I just feel like preaching today. Is that all right with everybody? We were actually in worship just a moment ago singing about chains falling off of us. And I had to reach down and get my iPad. And I said, I'm going to insert this right here in this message. Because it reminded me of a song. It's an old song by Dallas Holmes. You remember the words of that song that he sung about praise, about just praise the Lord? And he says, the chains that seem to bind you are only there to remind you that they'll drop powerless behind you when you praise Him. Can we just do a little praise break right here? Come on, everybody. Can we just praise the Lord right here? Amen. Amen. Put some praise on it. Amen. It changes everything. Psalm 18 and 3 says, I called on the Lord who is worthy of praise. Look at this. And then there's a comma there. I praised Him. I worshiped Him. I called on Him. He's worthy of praise. And look what happens. And He saved me from my enemies. Worship works. And we have the opportunity today to worship Him. We're in this house today to worship Him. And when we begin to worship Him, we will encounter Him. And when we encounter Him, again, everything is going to change. We see the prayer cards here in the mornings in our prayer time and the needs. And we know that you have needs, and you'll probably put more prayer needs on there today. And we hope you do, because we want to help you pray about those things. But can I tell you, when we begin to surrender all those things to the Lord and worship Him, He begins to change all that. Things begin to change. Amen? When we begin to honor Him and praise Him. I want to give you a scripture that's found in Ezekiel that I want to just kind of explain here for just a moment. This could be a whole message in and of itself, but let me just do it in 1 minute. The Old Testament is a picture. It's a picture or a pattern of New Testament realities. So they're symbols. And we don't do that according to the things according to the rule. We do it according to the life in the New Testament. So let me explain. So there are rules for worship, and one of the rules, the Bible heading is here. It's found in Ezekiel chapter 46 and verse 9. The Bible heading actually says rules for worship. So God has rules for worship. But look what it says here. It says, when the people come in through the north gateway to worship the Lord during the religious festivals, they must leave by the south gateway. So if they're coming in from the north, they've got to leave by the south gateway. And on the other side of that, and those who entered through the south gateway must leave by the north gateway. Come in that way, you go out the other way. And look what it says. They must never leave by the same gateway they came in, but must always use the opposite gateway. And I believe God was showing us something here. I believe God was teaching a pattern that would become a reality. A rule of the Old Testament became a reality of the New Testament. And that is, when we come in to worship Him, we come in one way, we're going to leave another way. Isn't that good? We come in sick and lame, but we're going to leave healed in Jesus' name. Amen? We're going to come in because we've encountered His presence. We're not going to leave with the same mess. We're going to leave changed because we've encountered Him. There's things in our life that we can't control externally. We can't control always what the doctor call is going to say and what things are going to happen around us. We can't control the external, but we can control what happens on the inside. And the older I get, the more I realize the reality of that. It's not just what happens around you and to you. It's what happens inside of you. And so praise and worship, it does have a protocol. The Bible tells us we're to enter into His gates with thanksgiving. So when we look at these terms, praise and worship. Praise, and we'll see this, praise is horizontal at times. I mean, it looks at what God has done. It's what He's done to you. So we testify of what He's done, and we're praising Him for what He's done, and it's and talking about how what He's done for us. Psalm 95 says, we enter in with singing and shouting. But 4 verses later, it says, let us come down and kneel before our Maker. So we come in, there's some fast songs, and we're praising of what He's done for us. But then there's some slow songs. He gets us into more intimate, where we kneel down and bow down and kneel before our Maker. So praise and worship can be sometimes somewhat horizontal. That's kind of where we start. But somehow or other, it takes flight and becomes worship and becomes vertical. We go from saying that He is awesome to now to saying, Lord, You're awesome. It changes. We begin to have a conversation. We have relationship. There's an intimacy there. And that's where the change in our life begins to happen. And there is an order. And there is a way God wants us to worship Him. John 4:23, Jesus says this, but the time is coming, indeed it's here now, that when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And look at this, the Father is looking for those who will worship Him that way. So He wants us to worship Him that way. And it's not crazy, it's not put on, we don't want hype. Come on, there's a difference, right? But we want to be genuinely giving God all the praise. If we can do it for our team, can we not do it for Jesus Christ? Amen? who has saved us for eternity. So how do we do that? Let me give you some practicals here. Number one, write this down. Worship needs to be based on choice, not feeling. So I'm not going to wait for a certain song or a certain mood. I'm going to worship Him. I'm not going to be conditional with my worship and say, well, I can't lift my hands because look what I did yesterday. Can I just tell you something? Some of us come in here and say, well, I ain't all of that, and I know I'm not perfect, so I don't know if I qualify to be all. Listen, God still loves you. He knows what you did yesterday, and He still loves you. Your picture is still on His refrigerator. Come on. He still loves you, and He's still worthy of praise. We're going to worship Him. Habakkuk chapter 3 says this, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food. Let me just kind of make that a little more our language there. Though the kids are acting up and there's no money, and I'm broke, and I'm so broke I can't even pay attention. You know what I'm saying? Okay, that was funny. That was funny. But anyway, I don't care what you say. I mean, I know this is kind of old language here, but relate it to you. Though everything's going wrong and it's chaos everywhere, whatever, though the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, look at this, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will, and that's a decision, I will be joyful in God my Savior. It's like David said, this is the day the Lord has made. I will, that's a decision, rejoice and be glad in it. And the next verse, actually, I didn't have enough room to put it all in there for you, but the next verse actually says, and now He makes my feet like hinds' feet. And in the mountains, you'll see some goats or some sheep that are kind of designed for the mountains. They've got some skinny front legs and the giant hind quarters. And what is going on there is God gave them this unique ability to scale over rocks. And when you worship, God gives you this unique ability to scale over some stuff, to jump over some things, right? He gives you skinny front legs and I know it's Mother's Day. Some of you ladies are saying, no, I rebuke that in Jesus' name. I don't want a large hinder part. No, but I'm just spiritually speaking, y'all. Come on. Spiritually speaking. Hebrews chapter 13, not in notes, verse 15 says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess His name. So it's a choice, not a feeling. Number two, worship with everything I have. I believe that's the way Jesus would tell us to do it. So we're not going to give Him a golf clap. Come on, we're going to go all in. We want that of our teams, don't we? We want them to go all in. Leave it on the field. Leave it on the field. Go all in. Give me everything you've got. Why don't we do that for the Lord? So that we've given Him everything that we have. That's what we're doing in the parking lot. That's what we're doing greeting. That's what we're doing serving. That's what we're doing in kids ministry. We're going all in. We're worshiping Him and giving Him everything we've got. King David once was traveling. He was not in Jerusalem at the time. He was actually traveling. And he needed to build an altar and a sacrifice and build a sacrifice of animals and worship his God. And he found a guy who had a righteous home. And he said, I need to buy a place in your house to worship. And the guy was like, look, you're the king. I'll give it to you. And this is what David said to him in 2 Samuel verse 24, chapter 24, verse 24. He says, no, I insist on paying for it. I will not sacrifice to the Lord my God burnt offerings that cost me nothing. So he wanted to be able it to cost him something. He wanted to sacrifice something. He wanted it to mean something. Mark 12, 30. Jesus said this, love the Lord your God. Say it with me, everybody, with. Say it again. Say it aloud, not a soft. With all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. I just want to make sure you got the reoccurring word there. I think you get what he's saying there. With everything that we have. Number three, and I believe this is so important. Worship expecting God to respond. This is how we worship. We worship expecting God to respond. The 22nd Psalm says that he inhabits the praise of his people. He inhabits the praise. And you know where he is, everything changes. We can expect things to change. James 4 and 8. I'm telling you, let me just say, this is going to change somebody's life today. I believe it. See, there may be somebody here, I don't know if you're here in this building or you're watching online, where you've been struggling with something. You can't get over a hurdle. There's a battle. There's a chain. There's something that's holding you back. There's some issue that you just can't get past. I want to tell you how to get past it. Worship the Lord. Praise and worship the Lord. It'll change everything. Come on. And God will respond. James 4 and 8 puts it this way. Come close to God. And look, God will come close to you. And you're saying, you're dumping a lot on us and you expect, I don't know what all you're expecting out of us. Look, all I'm saying is just take it up one notch. Just take one step. I'm not asking you to look like Israel Houghton this morning or whatever. I'm just asking you, take it one notch up. Take one step closer to God and see what happens. Look, go close to God, and God will come close to you. And you're really doing that. We're really doing that every day. There's something that we're passionate about. Look at your passion. Look at your time. Look at your energy. Look at where you spend your money. Look at where you spend your time. You're worshiping that. And here's why worshiping God is so important. Because worship, it'll change you. You'll begin to reflect. The Bible says that we're being conformed to the image of Christ. We'll begin to reflect what we are worshiping. Let me show it to you. Whatever I worship becomes an obsession. When you worship something, you become obsessed with it when you worship it. But look at the next thing that happens. Whatever I become obsessed with, I imitate. Begin to be like it. Come on. You know, those guys are out there trying to act like Jack Nicklaus. You know, I'm Jack Nicklaus. Well, he's awesome. I'm going to be like him. Wow. Idolize him. I want to begin to imitate him. But look at the next thing that happens. And whatever I imitate, I become. Powerful, isn't it? Worship is very important. The Bible says that we can be conformed into the image of Christ. We want to model Him. We want to reflect Him. So we worship Him. Would you bow your heads with me? God, thank you for your word today. And I just want to pray for those that we're talking about getting closer to God, but there may be some that are thinking, I am far from God. And God seems so distant. And maybe it's those that call themselves to be Christians, but yet for some reason life has happened and you just seem so distant. God, I pray for them. They will step closer to you today. They'll move in your direction. Or your heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you're here today and that's you, you're saying, I hear this message. You're talking about close, intimate relationship with God. You're talking about getting closer to God and worshiping Him and going all in. But where I am right now, I'm covered up with so much stuff. It just seems God's a million miles away. I just want to pray with you. And it may be that you just need to make a fresh commitment. It may be that you've never made a commitment, but you know you need to put Him first in your life. And can I tell you, when you put Him first, you draw closer to Him, and you allow Him to take His rightful place, He's going to put everything else in your life in right order. And that's really what salvation is all about. So I'd like to lead you in a prayer, whether you're here in person or you're watching online. But if that's you, without having to have you stand or come to the front or embarrass you, I just want to lead you in a prayer. And I would like everybody to join me in helping, just to be a support to those who need to pray this. But if you need to pray this, all you got to do is mean it. Can I lead you? Let's pray. Just pray something like this. God, thank you for loving me. Thank you for caring for me. So much so that you sent your Son to die for me. God, you came close to me. when you sent your son for me. Today, I take a step close to be closer to you. I open my heart. I ask you to come in. Take your rightful place. Be first in my life. Thank you for paying for my sins. I turn from my sins, and I accept you now. Come inside of me. Make me brand new. Change me. Heal me. Set me free. Today, I believe that you're making me to be a new person on the inside. So today, I give you my life. And with all of my heart, I'm going to follow you as you help me. Father, thank you for every person who needed to pray that prayer, whether in this building or watching online, live or recorded. God, I pray for them. And I pray, Father, that they will follow you day by day, step by step. I pray, oh God, that, Lord, that your peace will be known in their life. The joy of the Lord would be theirs. God, that they'll experience the delight of following you and worshiping you, God. And I thank you that you're changing everything now. God, we praise you. And Lord, now I just also pray for every person in this house, every woman, every mother, and even every person who may have had worry be their go-to. Today, God, I pray that their go-to will be worship and that your peace will come in the midst of all of that they're going through. God, that they'll know that you're the answer. Lord, we look to you in Jesus' name. We give you praise. Come on, everybody said, amen.